From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman. In Matthew 28, the Christian demigod tells his disciples to go into the world and make everyone a Christian. This was not a suggestion. Unfortunately, the Christian faces many perils along their journey to indoctrinate the world into one religion. Sometimes they're met with violent opposition, or in some cases, they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. In Luke 10:19, Jesus asserts that his followers will be able to step on deadly creatures and that nothing will harm them. Yet we have seen time and time again that not all missionaries come home safe. In October this year, 17 members of the Christian Aid Group, including children, were kidnapped and are currently still being held for ransom. Two of the hostages were released last week with no details on how or who. According to the Christian worldview, there are a few options as to why the all-powerful, all-loving Christian father figure allowed 17 of his biggest fans to be kidnapped and face an uncertain future. Did they do something wrong? We've seen throughout the Bible that Yahweh will remove his protection from and or unleash his wrath upon those that do things he doesn't like. In Judges 3:8, the loving Christian deity sells his favorite people into slavery for being disobedient. And in Genesis 6, he decided it was best to drown the whole planet for it. Are they being tested? Yahweh puts people to the test throughout the Bible. Remember that one time Yahweh tested Abraham in Genesis 22? Even though the Christian deity knew the thoughts and heart of his creation, he wanted to see if Abraham was loyal enough to slaughter his own son as a sacrifice. Yahweh told his faithful friend to kill his son. So many red flags there. Or did a group of men willing to risk it all for wealth and power simply act on their desires? Was it supernatural, unknowable causes, or humans reacting to their personal situations and indoctrinations? What is more plausible? I truly hope that every one of these hostages is unharmed and returned safely. I can't imagine how scary it must be for them and for their families. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't you figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
Today's special guest is co-founder of Bethel Music and author of the new book, All Things Lovely. Welcome to the show, Jen Johnson.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for agreeing to be on the show. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your new book?
Well, I have been wanting to write a book for a long time about the things that I'm passionate about.
This is your first book.
First book.
Congrats.
Yes.
It takes a lot.
I've been a musician since I was 5 years old. Mm. But this is my first kind of hack at writing. I did do a children's book, though, a million years ago. I think like 18 years ago now. So I guess it's my second time, but that didn't really, you know, count, I don't think. But yeah, so I just was like, well, what should I write about? I'm passionate about so many things. And so I just started to write about everything, but it came kind of down to four categories: home, health, hospitality, and kind of our emotional health with our heart. So it happened to all be ages, unintentional. But yeah, just wanted to write that and didn't know how, but I signed my book deal. I feel like the Lord said, green light, you can write a book. And I was like, okay, don't know how that's going to happen with five kids and, you know, the record label and everything else. But then the world shut down. So Jesus just, okay, all right. Did he shut it down for me? I don't know. Sorry, everyone. Just kidding.
It's your fault. Thanks a lot, Jen.
I'm sorry. But yeah, it just really gave me this little window of time where I could do it and be home. And my best friend is the photographer for most of the book. Any of the pretty pictures, if they are terrible, they're probably from my iPhone. But So it was a great adventure. I learned a lot, I'll say that.
Yes. Writing a book, man, I tell you right from experience, you learn a lot writing a book. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you learn is it's not easy.
No, especially, you know, it's filled with over 200 pictures too, of just kind of our life and family and Bethel Music and health, just all kinds of things. So it's really beautiful, but you've got the book writing part and then you've got the photography part. Mm. And it is not easy to shoot food, which we figured out. We looked on, we were like, why can't, you know, how do they get the pancakes to look so, you know, and they cheat. That's how.
When you
see commercials, they cheat. So there's no cheating in this book. These photos are real. We ate the food.
First tough question right off the top. I did notice that while I was looking through a bunch of the pictures, your family seems to have jeans with a lot of holes in them. Are you guys doing okay?
Yeah, seriously. I know. It's just, you know, I don't even know if it's in style. They're cute. I don't know.
it's just something I kept seeing along the way. I'm like, man, they have a lot of holes in their jeans.
That is so funny. I've never even thought about that before. Now I'm going to go back through and look.
Now you're going to notice nothing but holes in the jeans. I'm telling you right now.
I'm checking my jeans right now. I don't have any holes in them. I guess I'm doing better.
You're doing good. You got the ones without holes today. Oh man. So why did you write the book in general? Did you feel the need to tell your story more clarifying, you know, with the book itself? How did that come about?
I think that my passion, biggest thing for this is just to help people remove anything in their lives that is kind of keeping them stuck. So just helping people get free emotionally, spiritually, physically, either in their home or their heart was a big motivator for this. I love the word intentional or intentionally, just kind of not letting life happen or be random, but really just paying attention to things in life, you know, like letting God speak to you. So my biggest dream for the book is that it will just bring people closer to the Holy Spirit and they just stay connected and kind of keeping track of what's going on in their emotional life and also in their house, knowing that holistically it all works together. You know, we can't pray for healing and then, you know, smoke cigarettes and eat trash food all the time and think that, you know, I love that the Bible says we need self-control, you know? So I think that there's a big dance in the partnership that we have and responsibility to maintain. I love that God started the whole Bible with a husband and wife in a garden because they had to cultivate it. You know, those vegetables didn't grow supernaturally. So I think that God's looking for our part and our intentionality in our life. So,
well, yeah, it definitely makes sense. If you want to have a healthy body, don't smoke and eat McDonald's.
Right.
A little common sense. No, definitely eat greens.
I think in heaven, McDonald's will be good for us. That's my prayer. Why does it taste so good? So bad.
There's a great question. Why is fast food bad for us? Why don't they just put like vitamins or something in it to help us out? I don't know. Too expensive. I don't
know. All the chemicals in the junk, you know, like, or I always wonder, it's 2021. Why can't McDonald's have an organic menu where they sell a burger that's $3 more, but it's all organic ingredients?
Hello? Well, I think Burger King does that, but Burger King's disgusting. I don't know. It's called the Impossible Burger or something like that. Yeah. No.
We really need In-N-Out to help us. Maybe Jesus will give them that idea. I do.
Smash Burger. Smash Burger. Man, we're talking food. I love Smash Burger. They got a great black bean, spicy. Oh,
I love a good burger. Listen, I say Jesus is a foodie because if we watch Jesus in the Bible, he was always eating with friends and people in their homes.
Yeah.
There was a banqueting table. I mean, Jesus loved a good feast. That's all through the Bible. So Jesus was a foodie.
There is that story where he gets up in the morning and he's pretty hungry and then the fig tree doesn't have anything. So he curses the fig tree because it's out of season.
He was hangry. Jesus was hangry.
Exactly. Jesus was hangry. And then he acted on that hangriness and cursed a tree to kill.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I haven't cursed a tree, I don't think, but.
No. Well, let me know if that works. That'd be pretty interesting.
Bread, fish. I'm here. I bet it was a sourdough.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'd love to jump into more, but I'm very curious, who is this Michael Conrad guy who has joined us?
I have no idea.
Hey, I'm actually the publicist for Jen. Jen knows who I am. She's just acting like she doesn't know who I am.
No, I'm seeing it. I didn't even see it on the icon thing. Oh yes. There he is.
Welcome to the show, Michael.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
only showing me and you on my screen, so I had no idea who else.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, he's definitely on the show now. I appreciate you coming on as well. You throw in your two cents anytime. I love it. The more the merrier. But Jen.
No, Michael, now seeing Jen's Michael. Family with that, with the holes in their jeans, is that the first time you've ever seen holes in jeans? It is a fashion statement. No,
what is that place called? Hollister, I think it is. They sell jeans for like $100.
You know what the name of Hollister is.
Not that I've been there much. I don't, honestly.
He's been living under a rock.
I've been wearing the same pair of jeans for the last 5 years. So, you know.
You find a good one that fits.
I'm not a fashion guy. Sorry. I don't know much. When I see holes in their jeans, I'm like, that person needs new jeans.
Yeah, that's also what my grandma would say. So congratulations.
Did you just call me old? Oh, man.
No, you called yourself. Talking about my grandma.
Well, either way, nice pictures. I love the picture with the goat, man. I love goats. Goats are like the funniest animals on the planet
for
me.
They are. People are like, why do you have goats? We're like, well, they're lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Also, baby goats are the cutest thing in the world. Puppies have nothing on baby goats. The way that they prance around on all fours.
It's a toss-up. It's definitely a toss-up.
Oh, gosh, they're so cute.
Yeah, love me some goats. Those fainting goats. Oh, I can't get enough of those fainting goats.
You can for hours. Exactly.
Laugh until I cry.
Video. You're better.
love it. All right, well, now that we've had the fun, now a little more serious, I do want to ask you more questions about what you believe and why. Of course, that's the whole topic of the show here. So your worship songs and everything you do, what made you start doing that?
Well, I grew up in the church and I love the church, and I think I sang my first solo when I was 5 years old for a women's meeting. And then I just kind of grew up playing and leading worship in kids' church and youth. And, you know, we moved to Bethel when I was 17 and just joined the worship team there. And so it just felt very natural. It wasn't something I planned to do with my life. I was going to college to be a preschool teacher and an aerobics instructor. Ooh. There you go. most people don't know that, but it's a fun fact. Because I thought to myself, I'm going to be healthy and work out. And if I do this, people are going to pay me to be healthy and work out. So that just felt genius to me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, come on.
So, and preschool teacher, I never ended up doing that, but I just ended up having 5 kids. So, you know, God just sets us up for what we need, I think. So, but yeah,
having 5 kids.
never know. God's wild, but it's a dream. It's a zoo, but it's a dream.
Zoo. There it is. There's the honesty. I love it.
It's an absolute, it's a wild roller coaster that I love.
Absolutely.
But I think that, you know, when we moved to Reading and I got married shortly after that, my husband and I started to write songs together and lead worship together. And it kind of became something that we were like, oh, wow, this is something that we have. And a friend of ours really believed in us. He was from the music industry, never asked anything of us, but just really believed in us and encouraged us. And it kind of just set this trajectory of becoming songwriters and artists and then starting a label. So
That's quite a feat.
Yeah, I'm tired. Bags under my eyes.
Those are real.
Yeah,
this bald head. This is real. This is kids right here. I can't imagine 5. Oh my goodness. Holy cow. All right. Well, so tough questions. Why worship? Why are you worshiping your deity specifically? Why do you feel the need?
Yeah. Okay. So I get asked this a lot, and I just think that it's a few things for me. You know, God is so kind and wonderful, and He's not this egotistical.
Egotistical.
You know, worship me, God. I mean, worship is, first of all, when people say, "Why do we worship?" my response instantly is, "How could you not? How could you not, with the goodness of God, who He is, all that He's done for us, His faithfulness, just the preciousness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Jesus, I mean, how could you not worship?" is my response first and foremost. But, you know, I think God as a Father, He's so wonderful, and He knows that when we worship, multiple things happen. You know, we become like Him, and that's His heart for us, is to become like Him. And you know, when we declare, "God, this is who you are, wonderful, holy," you know, it's like a mirror. Like, I feel like God absorbs it and He is that. like a hug, but then also he goes, and so are you, you know, because we become like him as we are made in his image, first of all, but as we worship, we do. And so I just feel like so much goes on when we worship. And we don't ever worship to get something from God. That's not a healthy relationship. Worship God for who he is. And that's the point. But it's amazing to see what happens when we worship together as well. There's nothing like being gathered in a congregation and singing together, united, the people of God and the praises of God. I mean, that's just heaven right there, just having that unity. So yeah, I think it's multifaceted, but my number one answer would be, man, God is so good. How could you not worship?
Right. Well, so my answer, thank you for that. I appreciate that, is 100%. How could you? My answer is, how could you worship this God? I've read the Bible. I'm sure you've read the Bible as well. And I know you, through reading the Bible, you found some parts in there that were difficult to swallow, difficult to accept. I can just go with one of the main basic ones that we can both agree on, the flood.
Sure.
Now, during the flood, Yahweh, God, specifically drown everybody on the planet. He says, because he regret making people, which is weird because he knows everything. Right. So he knew ahead of time he was going to have to drown these people. And then during the flood, we have babies, we have puppies, we have kittens that didn't do anything wrong. But at the same time, he felt the need to drown them. And this isn't the only spot where I have an issue, where there's lots of all kinds of issues, the Old Testament, New Testament, all kinds of stuff. So I fail to see why he's so good. When I'm just going to say it, sorry, I apologize, no offense at all. To me, he's a documented child killer. We've documented it in this book. He's documented himself killing children, several points, not just the flood, Passover. You've got Hosea, you've got, there's tons of spots in there. So at that point I have to stop and go, does he deserve this praise and worship? First off, I have a hard time praise and worshiping anything. That to me is a strange concept. I grew up in the church. I grew up praising and worshiping Jesus. That was my thing until I stepped out of that bubble and kind of started to logically look into these things. So to me, he's a documented child killer. And to you, he's the same thing, because you understand the flood, you understand these stories to be true. So at that point, I stop and question, is he really worth that praise? So you talk about his kindness and his love and his goodness and whatnot. Is there anything you can point to that would specifically show this?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's so much that we don't understand. There's
100%, yeah.
And, you know, I know for me, one of the most convicting things, even this month for me, has been, I just watched a movie, I really liked it, with Jake Gyllenhaal, and the whole movie,
Spider-Man.
No. Oh. I'm a big movie fan. The whole movie, Jake Gyllenhaal gets you to be so convinced that he's the good guy and he's talking to the bad guy. And you are in. I mean, you're like at the end of the movie, you're like, I'm going to kill this person myself. You know what I'm saying? When they just get you.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, you were wrong. And the person that you thought was a good guy was the bad guy. And you're shocked. And so, you know, I do not understand God's ways, nor will I ever. There is so much mystery, but I never once have ever questioned his nature. And so that for me is the theology, the lens, if you will, that everything is run. Is God, I don't know why, but I do know that the only thing it connects to or points to is that you're good. If God isn't good, nothing matters. If God isn't good, throw the whole Bible in the trash. But from Genesis to Revelation is a story packed with who God is, but a lot of it, I don't think we'll ever understand. It comes back to faith. And my faith is that God is good. And I know him as good. But man, there is a ton of stuff, even in my personal life, that I don't understand, that I have to bring to God and be like, this hurts. I don't know why, but I trust you. And if we don't trust him, we've got nothing. So it really comes back to faith for me, because there's a whole lot of things that I go, man, I would have done that differently. Or this is the good guy and this is the bad guy. and we're just dead wrong. You know, so I think this side of heaven, we won't know. We'll have a lot of questions. But again, I think our foundation has to be in the nature of who God is as a kind father. And the rest of it, it's just going to have to wait till we can talk to him face to face.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, but how do you know he's the good guy in the story? I mean, we go to Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That doesn't sound like the good guy in the story. He needs bloodshed. He sends his son to die because he's not able to forgive people without this blood. That doesn't sound like a very good thing at all. How do you know he's the good guy in the story?
I think, again, it comes back to faith. It comes back to faith and trust. And again, like, I'm so glad I don't live in that age, because there's so much in it that you're like, oof. But again, I can't let that doubt come into my mind. And not because I'm not a realist. I'm a realist. Yeah. But again, I didn't live in that time. I don't know what was going on. And I think it comes back to the humanity of me not knowing what was going on. And the humanity in me, though you slay me, I will trust you. That's what the verse says. You know, though, no matter what it is, I know who you are and I won't question that, even though none of it makes sense and you look dead wrong.
That doesn't sound like that doesn't sound like a very good thing. I mean,
I just want to chime in. This is totally on me. I don't think we really prepped Jen to are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it's not an indictment on you, Michael. I just think, like, I don't think we prepped her, Noah. And so if you're good, Jen, we can continue.
Yeah, I wasn't prepped and I'm fine, but I do really want to make sure that we're able, that we can, you know, focus on what the book says and what the book, you know, the heart of the book as well. But I'm great with that. I'm an open book.
I appreciate that.
And like, totally get what you're doing, Michael. Yeah, totally get what you're doing, Michael, and like, I understand the show, but we were under the impression this was going to be less of a debate and more of like talking about like Jen specifically, and so...
Definitely. This is all about Jen's beliefs, 100%. This is Jen, 100%. Yeah, I just want to know what she believes, why she believes it, 100%.
Totally.
And if you are uncomfortable with any of the things we talk about, just let me know. I will change the subject. I'm good with that. Like, there's lots of topics we can discuss.
Absolutely. I mean, and like, we should have done a better job like prepping her and you on this. And so I'll be honest with you, if it's just going to be more kind of like you questioning like specific things out of the Bible, I don't think like we want to like keep doing that.
Roger. Yeah, no, I'm going to question her beliefs and use the Bible. Is that okay?
I mean, happy to question her beliefs, but like we didn't sign up for like a theological kind of debate, if that makes sense.
Kinda. I'm just trying to figure out what she believes. I'm not going into. I'm definitely not a theologian. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah,
I'm not a theologian.
Honestly, I would be more comfortable at this point if we just rescheduled. To be honest with you,
Jen, how do you feel?
I don't want to put Jen in a weird place, but I just we weren't expecting this, and she wasn't, and that is on us.
Yeah, 100%. No worries at all. Yeah, just let me know how you feel, Jen, and we can.
I'm totally fine up till now, but I really would love to make it about the book, because the book really is such a beautiful description of what I believe. And I do talk about worship in it. And I do talk about a lot of these things and what they mean to me. So I think that redirecting people to what I say in the book and what I talk about in the book versus I mean, you and I could off screen, you and I could like talk, you know what I'm saying? There's no question that I feel like I know, I'm in, you know everything about, and I don't love debate, but I love being able to talk in a place with people who have mutual, you know, respect to be able to talk through anything.
I respect you as a person, 100%.
Totally.
Definitely.
I've had conversations this year with people who hate me.
That's terrible. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I had the same thing, you know, I mean, being who I am.
Of it, but again, I do think like redirecting to the book, like he's saying, would be an amazing idea, because I do talk about it all in there. So
for sure, you want a quote from that book, any questions that I have that come up with the quote with the book, I want to begin with the book, I want to end with the book, and I want to throw the book out in the middle of the conversation, 100%.
Okay,
that's part of it all.
Are there any questions that you could let me know if you want to ask, and then we could just kind of figure out what would be best for like the next usage of our time. I don't know how much time we have left.
No, honestly, I wing it. Like, I know who you are. I know what you've written. I read part of your stuff. I've seen the pictures, which the holes in the jeans, great stuff. And so my questions come from that. My questions come from what you say. So it's, I don't really have anything planned with these shows. I just kind of go with the flow.
Okay, cool.
Try and be as respectful as possible. I know it's not the easiest thing talking about what you believe sometimes.
I don't mind it. I mean, I have no problem with it. But how much time do we have left just for the...
We need to bounce in like 10 minutes or so.
10 minutes is fine.
Yeah. Okay, what do you think would be best that we talk about?
Well, let's see. The last thing I wrote down was, how do you know the guy's good guy? Goodness. I want to know the goodness. That's basically it.
Okay, cool. We can talk about like family kids or health or...
Ooh. Yeah, well, that just brings me to the whole father figure of Yahweh, your God. Sorry, I call him Yahweh because that's what he calls himself in the Bible. I don't really know what else to call him.
Yeah.
So Yahweh, I want to know the why do you believe that Yahweh is a good father figure? Because what I see, I'm just going to throw my shenanigans out there real quick. What I see in the Bible is somebody who demands worship, who demands love, who demands respect. Otherwise, you're going to get thrown into hell. And that's what I see. So how do you see him as a good father? Because that to me doesn't sound like a good father figure. I mean, I don't ask demand my kids worship me or love me or respect me. And that kind of contradicts the whole parable of the prodigal son and all that. So, yeah.
I think that we'll just finish it out.
That's good. Yeah. Appreciate it.
I think that, God being a good father, he would never tell us to do something that isn't for our best or our good. And again, it comes back to mystery about it, you know? And I think that viewing God, which many people do, in the lens of how they were treated from their fathers is really important. I just did a talk show I recorded last week with TBN. It's called Better Together. And the entire topic was on how God the Father has been misrepresented or represented well in our natural fathers.
Huh.
And I think that we really need to make that two-parted in our life, because a lot of times, whether we know it or not, either abuse or a wounding from a father or a grandfather or someone who carries a paternal line smashes right into our view of the Bible and everything that's going on into it. And then when you have that lens and you read God wiped out a planet, we can just get so skewed so easy. So it really has to come back to who we are. We know that this is his nature and his goodness beyond what our brain knows. It's a spirit to spirit. And, I think that there's just so many things in life that can cloud that. But that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I talk about the father in the book. And I talk about, when my kids were little, I used to say that the Trinity, I had a picture of like an apple, how there was the skin and the flesh and the seeds, and it was all the same, three different parts of the same thing, and learning, I think an amazing thing to do is to ask God, reveal yourself to me of who you are as Father, reveal yourself to me as who you are as Jesus, and reveal yourself to me as who you are as the Holy Spirit. And that with that lens that is detached from our experience or pain or questioning from our earthly fathers and their failure or success in our lives really gives God a clean slate. But again, there will be things that we simply don't understand that we think are, complete evil, but we just don't know. And we are not God. So I think that it's that revelation of who he is that really can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. We can have all the faith in the world for every word the Bible says, and we can have all the trust in God. But if we don't have the revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us walk through our day-to-day and to read the scripture, the Holy Spirit has to be with us to read the scripture for it even to make sense, And God has spoken to me. I remember years ago, I was sitting in bed and my husband and I were talking about going to Hawaii, and it was like so random. And a friend was like, I feel like you need to get away and go to Hawaii. And we were like, that sounds like the Lord, but like on what planet do we have the finances for that? But I could feel that it was God was saying that we should go. And so I was really wrestling with it because it felt right, but it made no sense. And so God's really taken me down that path with him to learn to trust him when it defies what my brain thinks or my finances think. I used to buy what I could afford, and God said, no, flip it and buy what I'm telling you to, even with organic food and vegetables. I didn't have the money for it, but God said, no, flip your mentality and what am I telling you to do, and then I'm going to provide for that. So I was laying in bed with my husband, and I just said, babe, I feel like we're supposed to go to Hawaii. And I just opened my Bible
I'm gonna try that one.
You know, just random, like, you just open it and like point to wherever it opens to, you know, roulette or whatever. Not a great idea. But I just did in that moment, like kind of like wherever my Bible opened at that moment, and I looked down and it said I was reading the Message Bible, which I don't think is an actual translation. I like it as kind of poetry. I grew up on the NIV and the New King James. I love the NASB and I really love the Passion, but the Message I also love, but just for different reasons, more like a, yeah. And so I opened it up and literally the verse that I looked at said, God is your island getaway. And I was like, I yelled from my bed, baby, we're going to Hawaii.
That's it, yeah.
So it was funny. And we did, and God provided. It was supernatural how God provided for it. So all that to say that the Bible is a gift. I believe it from front to back, but our relationship with the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God, our faith with the person of God, not just the book, but the person and the book has to be intact. But we can't question his nature, even when it defies our minds. And that's tough, but that has to be a gift and a working through of the Holy Spirit.
I see this book as a description of God's character, correct? You as well?
I feel like it's more than that. It's humanity. It's God's relationship with humans. It's multifaceted. It also shows us who he is in a glimpse. Yeah. But it's multifaceted. It's not just one. It's so many things.
And I have a problem with who he says he is. Exodus 34:14. He says his name is Jealous. He's jealous and he punishes children. He says it several times. And that's where I see this problem with the loving father figure is a loving father doesn't come around and tell us his name is Jealous and then punish the children because he's jealous.
I understand that because I, as a wife, have a healthy form. It's not an abusive form, but there's a healthy form that is a protective.
Correct.
Jealous form is actually for our good. I talk about that a lot in the book, even with health. Like what I want for my life is McDonald's. That's what God wants for my life. That's not. His kindness and his jealousy over my health is actually a beautiful thing that keeps me safe. So to have my exercise and eating correctly and taking care of my emotional health, getting counseling, all those things, he's jealous for me to be a healthy person. It's not out of bad nature or heart, because he loves me.
But this is a little bit different. We can end on this. This is a little bit different from what I see. He's punishing kids because he's jealous that their parents are worshiping other gods. It says it several places in there, and he actually follows through with it in several spots. One spot, he makes their parents eat their children. It's very disturbing and disgusting, and I don't see that as a loving father figure, but I see Michael's upset. We're done here. I just want to plug your stuff. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Where can we find you?
Predominantly I'm on Instagram, Jen with two N's, Johnson20, and that's my favorite social media. But BethelMusic.com is where I am on the music world, and
there's a lot out there.
A lot happening. That's my next book title. A lot happening.
That's a good idea.
Hey, before we go, can I pray for you real quick? Would that be okay?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Not online, obviously, you know. So Father, I just thank you for this precious man. And Lord, I just pray that it would be who you are in all clarity, would just come into his heart and his soul. Lord, I thank you for his beautiful heart to till the ground of the word, to find out who you are, even if it's painful or misrepresented, Lord. But I just pray, Holy Spirit, that the love of God, the pure love of God would capture his heart, would capture his soul, Lord, and that he would be able to see who you are. And even though it comes with a bunch of mystery, God, that your nature would be clear and his faith in that would be so clear. So I bless this man, Lord. I just thank you for his heart. And I just, even the things he's walked through in his life, Lord, I just pray that you would restore all things and you would heal him so deeply on places that have just been brutal that he has had to go through, Lord. I just thank you for him. And I just say yes and amen to what you're doing in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I appreciate that you care enough to do that. I really do. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Michael, for showing up as well and stepping in there and protecting Jen when needed.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Michael, I would love to actually have a conversation with you as well, but you know, that's an open invitation.
with me, yeah, I'm down. I'm down for conversations, but yes. I feel like as Jen is our client, I just feel like we put her in a position that that wasn't really fair. So
you're good. That's totally only fair, man. 100%. I appreciate the time. Appreciate the effort and the civility. So I will talk to you guys later. Let's stay in touch. I'd love to do this again, either off air or on air. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love these conversations. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you later. And that's all the show there is for you today. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to help keep the recording light on, simply go to patreon.com/BSW the podcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show. Your episodic tithes of a dollar or more will give you access to the patron feed, unaired conversations, early access to each episode, and much more. For the latest events, BSW swag, and a peek behind the scenes, head on over to the show's ever-evolving webpage at thebiblesayswhat.com. The Bible Says What, the book is out. Head on over to thebiblesayswhat.com and get yourself and your grandma a signed copy. Thanks to the cosmic powers of the internet, it is now possible to buy me a beer or coffee online. Simply go to buymeacoffee.com/BSW the podcast and click the appropriate buttons. If you can't support the show monetarily, please like, share, and or leave a review. As always, you can find me at the Bible Says What Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or Instagram pages. You can also reach me at bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And no matter which platform you use to listen to your podcasts, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss out on the next episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them?
Voodoo Ranger, get you some.